had a process in place where any staff, not just my victim advocate, but any of my legal assistants that are just working with witnesses and doing, you know, scheduling, here's the trial and here's how you show up. Like, if any of the prosecution team gets a disclosure of things that have the potential mm-hmm. to be exculpatory or inculpatory, mm-hmm. we have to document that in some way. So we were already, in my mind, already in compliance before the law was even passed, because that was just our obligation under the law at the time already. So to me, for how my office does things, they would be no different that my victim advocate would need to have a recording of every conversation that she has with any victim, that my legal assistant's like calling up somebody on, hey, this trial is scheduled, you know, or we're looking at scheduling a trial, what's your availability? And then the person just wants to talk, and that's happened. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, like, especially on DV cases, like, your DV victims want to recant all the time, mm-hmm. and they will to anybody. Mm-hmm. And we have to, do we have to document it and disclose it? Mm-hmm. So.
Thank you.
So in my county, we're very small too, it was helpful, like I said earlier, because it brought to attention something that had slipped through the cracks. And so we're in the process of setting up a system where Heather, my CJC director, she makes notes. She takes notes. She doesn't record it. But when I was in Utah County, there was a really, really bad incident where one of the attorneys actually recorded a meeting he had with the victim in the case that turned into a whole discovery debacle. It was bad. And so, at any rate, I'm decidedly against recording, but what we're getting in place is that our victim advocate and our CGC director will write down their interaction, take notes from that, and train them to know that you have to report this to me. Mm-hmm. This has to come to me. You are charged under the statute with this, and so am I. Mm-hmm. And kind of having a little bit more of an open communication there. And then when it does get set for trial, we go back and say, is there anything else? Is there something else? Because again, our CJC director, I'm sure it is everywhere, deals not only with that initial CJC, but they follow up and other things that go on. And we have, because we're a small community, half of the people who come into our CJC center think that our CJC director is a therapist. So mm-hmm. they come in and want to talk to her about those kinds of things. And so we're trying to get that much more open dialogue, much more open. But if they record it, they need to take notes and they need to share that with us. It was more of a training issue.
I would just say, if despite all of the challenges, obviously, that came with this letter, and thank you again for the feedback today, if this did nothing else but then improve the communication between the CJC staff and you as prosecutors, because we do refer them to you a lot, and they need your support, to me, that is a good thing. Because they'll ask questions of us, and we know we should not be making those calls, and so we do have to direct them back to you. So I appreciate that, Ryan, that opened up that communication. Heather's great, by the way. So thank you for that.
So my takeaway is something like this, rather than make an executive decision, either call a council meeting or wait till the next council meeting to raise it and discuss it is what I will do moving forward. Is there any, then just generally, in regards to this letter, do we need to do any kind of a follow-up, or Tyson?
And maybe this is more of just a question, but this seems like, rather than UPC handling this issue, this seems like it should have been UCDA. Like, the county attorney should be the ones having the discussion and deciding what information is going out to the county attorneys on that, rather than UPC, in my opinion. Like, that seems like that's the avenue, the venue to be discussing that, rather than this council. Like, I'm looking around the room, and three-quarters of the people in this room it doesn't apply to.
And so why would I argue it applies to all three entities. Because, you know, for SWAP, it's a policy issue. UCDA is because it's a county-only issue. But it's also a training issue, so I think.
I mean, training, we can talk about training at our conferences about it, but if instruction area, if there's going to be a discussion on what should be the policy in the letter, I don't think this council is the one that should be making that decision. I think you should have all the county attorneys at the table and let them make the decision.
I think you also need municipal prosecutors as well, though, because children who are involved in domestic violence situations are also interviewing CJCs. Yeah. So they need to have that information as well.
Well, it doesn't. The statute isn't limited to CJC.
Right.
It covers all victims' advocates, so it applies to my victims' advocates.
Bob's office is a few doors down from mine, so that's how that worked out. So.
Well, and we do have.
It's an easy connection to prosecutors.
Yes.
I get that, but I'm talking about Bob's suggestion of waiting for a council meeting.
Right.
I think other entities should be making those decisions, not UPC.
It might be something that's interesting for the SWAP to look on the best practices committee too to address for sure.
Yeah, we could.
I mean, that's how I looked at it. Is it's a training issue, you know, and saw that it was applies to victim advocates, not just the felony cases. But is there any other guidance that you want to give? I mean, should a follow up letter be sent out? And how would you like us to proceed?
Did the letter, I don't have a copy with me, did it direct the CJCs to contact their county or district attorneys? You've talked about that a lot, but I didn't get that in my review of it.
Well, there's a copy in the packet right there.
Yeah, let's see.
So it's addressed to Utah prosecutors.
Yeah. Let's see.
Ryan, do you have an agenda?
Yep. This year we encourage you to work with your local CJC, any criminal justice system advocate office your office works with, to review their procedures, getting help develop procedures.
And just last week when we did meet with the directors, our legal advisor is Craig Barlow, and so he came down and spoke with all of the directors as well as our board and gave that clear guidance as well. So for those of you who have not made that connection, I hope you'll blow. It sounds like everyone here in the room has talked to their CJC since the letter went out. But like Bob said, is there something, you know?
Because I'm happy to send up a letter saying, in the 2 months since we sent this letter, we've seen this happen, there's greater communication. Above all, that's what needs to happen, is just more communication between offices and CJCs and victim advocates. And we can do that if you think that would help.
I don't know that would improve the situation on this. I think going forward, just emphasizing that context that we've talked about today, the attorney-client relationship in each local jurisdiction, and that this should be taken within that framework, and that is the conversation where the legal advice needs to occur. I think, you know, to the extent that another letter on a different subject comes up again.
Right. Okay. All right.
That's just my.
I'm not asking for a clarification letter.
Okay.
And I don't want to, you know, throw water on the coals as far as, you know, the AG's office and the CJC doing a great job and collaborating and communicating with us. I love that relationship. And I want that to continue. If Bob is, like Heather, for you, as you see issues in the future, if Bob is a good source to go to, I'm not opposed to that. And if the CJC feels that like there's an immediate need for communication, I'm not opposed to that either. But I do think that if it's an issue of setting forth standards, that maybe that piece should be looked at, particularly on Bob's side, right? Like, Bob speaks for UPC, so those kind of, like, if it's, like, we need to be a bit more careful on that, I think. That's just my opinion. And we kind of have, SWAP has been the body that puts together best practices as far as prosecutors are concerned. So maybe that would be, maybe in the future Bob says, hey, let's get SWAP involved on this issue. But because this, to me, this could have been a letter that says, we are noticing an issue, and even raising alarm bells that we have seen many instances of non-compliance with this new statute.
Okay.
So here's the issue. Please start addressing it if you haven't. Right. I would have been fine with a letter like that.
Okay.
I want to make sure we're not saying that Bob needs to bring something like this back to us every time he wants to write a letter.
Yeah,
to
I don't want
to take that discretion away. Of,
sure.
Yeah.
You've been able to do your job. I don't have to have a meeting every time you want to write a letter.
I think it's just dangerous territory when you get into, go beyond, this is a problem to, and this is how you fix it.
Right, right. And that, and I realize looking at it now after all this time, I can see how it came across that way. That, you know, like Heather's saying, that was not my intent. You know, our intent, Heather drafted, and I just, you know, helped her in the redraft. So that was not our intent, but I can see how that came across that way.
Thank you for the feedback.
Yes,
thanks for letting us join you. You know, Tracy and I are just upstairs with the CJC program, so if any of you need to talk about anything CJC outside of this meeting, you're welcome to engage with us, too, if we can help. Thank you.
Thank you for all you do.
Thanks, Tracy. Okay, so we've got two kind of big issues left. There's, you know, some of the smaller issues. One is the targeted increase. We had put that off in November when y'all met, wanting to see what the legislature did, is a big issue for today. And then after our training committee met, they have this suggestion of discontinuing UPC sponsoring civil conference, which may or may not be a lengthy discussion. So which do we want to tackle?
Let's talk about money.
Okay. Do you want to go into a closed session for that? Or do you want to leave that?
I think we have questions that we need you guys before we get a closed session.
Okay.
On that. I don't know why we need to go into a closed session to talk about budget. I know I brought this up once before, by the way.
This is just
budget. We're not talking, I don't believe the intent is we're going to talk about anybody's comments.
No, it's just whether or not you want to talk specifics as to how much, or, you know, whether or not to raise individual salary. So you don't have to go into close for that, so.
I think to the extent that staff feels uncomfortable in the meeting, we welcome them to take a coffee break. I have questions that I think we might be able to answer,
sure.
Or at least one of you as staff. And so,
okay. Now, Stephen, if it's all right with you, we'll go to item number 6. Go ahead. Will your questions, Will?
Yeah. So, some AGs started advertising effective immediately that they're paying newbies $112 a year.
$112
for brand new zero experience. Utah County has responded accordingly for their attorneys. Yesterday, Salt Lake County did the same, the county council. And so, looking at the tiers in the AG job postings, it seems to suggest you start at 112 and you make about 1,300 more a year for every year of experience you have. Has the AG's office shift changed the current salaries for UPC staff? And if so, what are those numbers?
So, Marlies Tice and I are all considered grade 4 attorneys.
Grade 4?
Mm-hmm. So Marlies isn't quite there yet, but for this increase, they treated her as a grade 4. I am eligible to be a grade 5, but the AG's office has a limited number of grade 5 slots.
Okay.
So that's why I'm still a grade 4. So that's why we're all within that. I got, and I'm using the hourly rates from last year at this time that I got from the AG's office in budget preparation. I know Marlies got a 5-year slight bump. So I got a $15.04 raise. That only puts me 88 cents above the mid-range. What, if you're looking at one of that.
Can you, do you have like the annual totals?
Yes, okay, so.
That would be easier.
Yeah, okay, so, let's see, where did I put mine? So, at this time last year, my total salary. Do you want just hourly or do you want to include benefits?
Just salary.
Just salary.
And annual if possible.
Okay, yeah.
If not hourly.
Right, okay, so this time last year, my hourly rate was $59.84, and that computed to an annual salary of $124,467.
124.
467.
467.
And I'm not giving you the change.
Right.
After the targeted increase, my hourly rate is $74.88 for an annual salary of $155,750.
And has that been approved? Is that in effect now?
Yes, it went into effect April 1st.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you do the same thing for the rest of the staff?
Yep. Tyson, who's just next. So a year ago, Tyson's salary was $50.69 an hour for an annual salary of $105,435. After the targeted increase, his salary is $63.48 with an annual salary of $132,038. Okay. Let's see, Marlise, if this, well, Marlise, after her five-year loyalty bump, she was making $48.05 an hour at an annual salary of $99,944. As of April 1st of this year, her salary is the same as Tyson's, $63.48 an hour.
132,038.
Correct. Okay, with Marilyn, last. Oh, you know what? I didn't print last year's. Let's see. Oh, no. Marilyn, last year was making $40.87 an hour for an annual of $85,009. I should have run the, I thought I did. Non-attorney staff received a $4,000 pay increase per year. So that means that as of now, right now, Marilyn is making $42.79 an hour at an hourly, at an annual salary of $89,009. Ron, at this time last year, was at $45.43 an hour. With the $4,000 increase, that bumps him up to $47.35 an hour for an annual salary of
$98,488. Okay. What is the staff perspective as far as those increases, whether they, like, first off, snaps to the AG for getting this pulled off in general.
That's pretty awesome.
You've had an amazing impact on AG salaries, Utah County, and Salt Lake County, and I'm sure the rest of the market's going to adjust inevitably. So thank you for that.
You can buy me lunch.
After the raise case.
In an hour. And you know what? He'll buy you Zupa as a sandwich and that salad.
Having said that, these increases, Tyson and Marlise are at the same salary right now, but they are not of the same year's experience.
Right. Tyson has 1 year over Marlise.
Okay. And so that invites the question of, are these bumps accurately indicative of the experience that you all have? I understand that the AG's office pays based on your experience generally. So are the current salaries adequately compensated? Is that the question?
A million dollar question.
Yeah.
The answer is you're worth more, right?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. I'm not quite sure how to answer that, Will. So let me attempt it. Let's see. Let me attempt it this way. Where is that?
Because we delayed compensation to see what would happen during the session.
Right.
Something happened, but that doesn't mean that this question is answered. You got to make sure that it's in the right spot.
Right.
Are these not equal to if they were switched over to an AG now? Is that where these numbers came from?
Can Can you answer that question? Do you know the answer to that question?
I don't.
Where he's from?
What I was going to say is, for grade four attorney, the pay range was on the low end $10.26 an hour, up to $18.09 an hour. So that was the pay range of the AG's office. And Dan can correct me if I'm wrong, it was the executive committee, which includes Sean Spence.
I think what he's asking is, how is that based? Is that bar date? And is that what you're asking?
Yeah, well, I get that everybody in the office got a bump on some level.
Yeah.
So if they're at the same place as someone who was in the office, is it the same place?
Right.
Yeah, that I don't know. I don't know if Tyson and Marlise got the same pay raise as somebody else, or if another AG got the same pay raise.
I would think so. I mean, it's based on, it's an equation, right? How many years of practice you have. And
right.
So what I noticed, just from my perspective, is Tyson and I got bumped to the same level, but he is a year ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyson's bump was the absolute bottom, 26?
That was the lowest of the range.
So as a level four attorney, which that didn't seem equitable. Right. I can't speak to mine because they bumped me up, but in so doing, they actually put me in a lower potential increase range. And I can see why they did it, because I would become a four in July.
Mm-hmm.
But those were just some of my observations that didn't seem... I didn't know until this morning that Tyson and I got bumped up to the same level. And I'm one that, you know, he works hard, I work hard, and I think that his should have been more than mine, in fairness.
You the same, different bar date, but...
By 1 year.
Yeah, he's, yep, 1 year ahead.
And my concern was, and again, not being part of that committee, is Tyson Marlise cannot be equated as a, how long have you guys been out? 12 years? 11 years?
Yeah,
12. Is somebody on the AG side, I know with, you know, all due respect to Spence, he raised this last time, is I couldn't laterally transfer a grade four attorney out of the AG's office into doing what Tyson and Marlise do. They have an expertise that they have developed.
Absolutely.
That I can't get just as a lateral transfer out of the AG's office. And so I think there's some inequity there in that they do need to be paid more because of that expertise. I would have to go out on the street, you know, and do an exhaustive search to find somebody that has the equivalent. I know that if you all bump up our salaries, including Marilyn's and Ron's, that there will be some discord in the office, but I don't know that that's something that you need to...
That's the be-all, end-all answer.
Right.
Yeah.
How much is the bump, percentage-wise, for all of your office?
I'm sorry, what do you mean by that?
What percentage is the increase? Over
of our salaries? Mm-hmm. You asked me to do math, and that was part...
I thought your report said 35.
So there's a 35% increase.
No, that's 35% is approximately what the benefits are. It's so...
Yeah.
Just a second. Yeah, no. Is
what happened last year before we did the salaries is the office went through and they said, we've got people all over the place.
So he's
you have the same bar date, do the same bar date, it doesn't match up.
Right.
And so we're gonna level all of the levels so that if you are low, you're gonna come up more.
Right.
And if you're not very far below, you're gonna come up less, right? So that
right.
Two grade fours are the same place and two grade threes are the same place. And there's no guessing about where they should be, right?
Right.
And so if you're seeing a difference, that may be why, is because yours being brought up to the same roof, right? Then when you go to the next one, you jump up all together. That avoids there being this constricting effort that happens when people have different reasons for rising as they came in the office or how long they've been here, and then they get to grade five, and all of a sudden there's not really that much of a jump, or there is a gigantic jump and it doesn't make sense. So this was before we did the salary increase, we leveled everybody in their grade, so that it was an equal jump each time. So if your jump is different, that may, I'm kind of outside my wheelhouse now, that may be why it looks like it's, because you're gonna jump in July, right?
I was gonna jump in July, yeah.
Yeah, so you'll go up to the next grade at that point because of your bar.
Well, they already jumped me. They jumped me for purposes of this.
Well, that's right, because we got it April 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so she's not gonna get a jump in July.
I'm still a little bit confused on the grades. Is it the grade something totally different than the years?
No, the grade is developed based on your years of practice.
So the grade is not, here's a section director that has specific responsibilities that make them a higher paid job.
A section director will get a job for management, right?
That's separate from the grades.
That's separate from the grades, yes. Okay. The grades are how long you've been practicing as.
So Bob not yet being a grade five, but he's entitled to it, is.
Nobody's entitled to grade five. That is a different step. That one you have to have the division directors for the office get together and determine that you've.
What's your number of years, Bob?
As a Utah attorney, I have, let's say I was licensed here in 96, so.
Is it Utah that counts, or?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was from when I was licensed, I was admitted to the bar in 1992.
92?
Yeah.
A grade five increase is not a large increase anymore. It's a $3 flat increase. There's no longer a percentage increase. Largely so because of this salary.
A grade four versus a five is like $3 an hour.
Right. And that's so largely because a lot of these people just jumped up anywhere from 20% to 35%.
So grade four is solely based on your bar number, the number of years, and it's the max.
I believe so, without management or a loyalty increase, right? Every 5 years there's a loyalty increase.
Okay.
So are there no steps within each grade level?
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
So I'm on Indeed.com right now. And the AG job posting for, I don't know what this job is, Assistant Attorney General Mortgage and Financial Fraud Unit.
Also, let me just say, caveat, don't quote me on any of this stuff. I'm kind of winging it. This is not my idea. I go get the money and then somebody else spends it.
The way that it's set up is it says 0 to 2 years, here's the number that you're starting at if you start here. 3 to 5 years, here's the number that you start at, then it jumps, at that point it shifts to every 5 years, 6 to 10, 11 to 15, and so on. So at 11 to 15, it's starting at 131.40 for that. That, I think, is 11 years fine, but then at 16 years, it goes to 137.280. So it's about $6,000 over that 5 year span. I think it would be very equitable for us to aim for at 12 years, this is where you land in that span. At 13 years, this is where you land in that span. At 31 years, this is where you'd land in that span. And it would not be so far outside the range of what the AG's office is advertising they do to the general public that would create so much discord that, unless the AG's not following the AG's posted policies, which would be the AG's own thing.
I can't speak to the discord, yeah. I don't.
There may always be that many people getting paid.
But
I like where you're aiming is trying to get this moving forward so we don't have that anymore.
Right.
I have another concept that I think we should be thinking about, and that is we as UPC, the council, we set the budget, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we only really should be determining Bob's salary, and because we supervise Bob. Like, we don't. Then that Bob is directed to supervise everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
With whatever budget is allocated?
Yeah, and so to some extent, the discussion about other staff should only really be a recommendation coming from Bob for us to say, yes, we're willing to fund that, or no, we're not willing to fund it.
Okay.
Right?
Because it'll increase our budget, depending on what the recommendation is, or decrease it.
Yeah, I mean, and because we can't really make that decision separate from the funds that we have to work with, right? But, like, Bob is the director,
mm-hmm.
and this is his staff.
Right.
Not, like, Tyson and Marlies are not my staff.
They don't report to
They're not our right. staff, right? They are UPC staff that is supervised by Bob. Now, like, we waited, right? We kicked the can down the road because we knew we wanted to be able to benefit from this overall AG process. Now that's done. I feel like, not that I want to kick the can down the road to, like, the next meeting. Like, let's figure this out. I don't know that decision happens today.
Well, even if it does, even if you do kick it down the road, we can backdate it to April 1st. The money is there, and mm-hmm. the money is waiting.
Yeah.
So it's not like anyone's going to lose it. It's just a matter of when the decision, but the decision won't be till June, right?
So that's when we get our next council meeting, when you approve next year's budget.
You know, like the last, was it 1 year or 2 years ago, where that's kind of how we set up the process. Bob came, he made a presentation to us, and essentially we gave him some dollars to work with and he went forth and implemented that.
In a bonus structure, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was a little